Today we'll be in, still in Ephesians, probably around verse 20, 21, 19, 20, and 21. Walking carefully, and we might get to walking carefully in Thanksgiving. So we'll see if we get there. I don't know. You know, can't ever plan these things. So we'll see where the Lord will guide us. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. And for us, that just means to we can simply confess our sins privately. It's none of my business. That's between you and God the Father. And we just simply name Him. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are then able to be effective Christians and learn the Word, apply the Word accordingly. And so let's take care of that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are beyond grateful every day that we are able to walk this earth. We know that your plan is just continually moving. And we just pray that we can continually seek you, seek your solutions, seek your word, because we know that everything in life that we have a problem with always has an answer in the word. We thank you for the wonderful blessings that you give our church and our church family and our country. We also ask that we can stay in line with your word as a people and continue to be faithful. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so let's start reading from Ephesians 5:15. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So, if you remember last class, we spent on Wednesday, spent a lot of time on the filling of the Spirit. I think that was a pretty important topic, and I wanted to spend a little time there because it's so critical for the Christian. And if you remember, that phrase of the filling of the Spirit can be synonymous with walking with the Spirit or walking in the light, as we know it in our context, or even partaking in the divine nature. And I said, yes, you are a superhuman hero, but you have to get that superhuman strength from the Holy Spirit. So, and that was part of that partaking in that divine nature. That's where we power up, per se. I could explain this to Rex by speaking about Superman or something, but you get the point. It is supernatural because it's God Himself guiding. It's God Himself showing. It's His Word that you're thinking with, and you're living by this supernatural strength. So it's really not us. It is God, per se, and we just need to be aware of that. That's all it is, because as we saw, in order to be useful, we all want to be useful to God. I don't know if you've ever had a job where there's someone that was absolutely unusable. We don't want to be in that position when it comes to the Christian way of life. We want to be in a spot where God sees where we're at in our soul, and He says, you know what, I want to use you. I can use you with more responsibility. I can bless you with more great things in this life. That's what He's waiting to do. I mean, He loves you like no tomorrow, and He's just constantly just sitting there tapping His foot, kind of waiting on us. You know, we're the holdup usually. And so part of the Christian life, I feel, is becoming more useful as we grow into this relationship. Because the more knowledge we receive about God, the more useful you become. It's just like any, you know, job. Someone that has a lot of experience on the job training, that's kind of irreplaceable. You know, they have to train someone. They have to find a replacement. It takes time to get that knowledge and to get that experience no difference with you. And the more you advance in this direction to spiritual maturity, the more effective and useful you become as a Christian in service to God. So it's all exciting, because what God does is He sees this and He takes advantage of it. He uses you to your maximum advantage, or to your maximum use, you could say. And He doesn't slack off and leave you sitting in a corner. And when you know all this stuff, and when you're willing to trust and rely on God, He's not going to just sit you on the sideline. He's going to say, hey, get in the game. We need you in on the playing field to play. So that was part of that. That's why this is filling of the Spirit is so important, because we want to be used. And that applies to wherever you find yourself serving. We all serve. We all have families. We all have missions. We all have work. We all have friends. There's different things where God will use you, whether it's in full-time ministry, or whether it's in a part-time ministry, or whether it's just life. It's all really ministry if you think about it. It's because when you're used by God, I call that ministry. There's no doubt about it that you are serving in a nonstop fashion, and that service may entail one person, or it could entail many people. Don't discount just because you're associating only with one person. There's not much happening in your life. Keep in mind this usefulness right here, because you have a big impact on people, on our country and people. And so in order to, you know, be useful, we don't want to keep all that good stuff to yourself. We need to have that grace just ooze over to other people. And so I feel like that's the useful part of being a Christian, is understanding God's grace and being able to reciprocate that. So, and as you already know, there's useful believers and there's useless believers. And we can go back and forth, and we can be consistent in one. We can jump out of that, get off track, and start to be useless. Hopefully we stay on track, right? That's the goal. That's the goal of the Christian life. A lot of you have learned this in different ways. I think you and I learned it as winners and losers. Well, you know, that word does apply. I think that's a pretty good analogy, because the winner believer takes advantage, and the loser believer doesn't take advantage. And when you, if you want to win, what do? You work out. You spend time in the training. You focus. You're faithful to whatever sport you're in. Well, this is a Christian life. We want to win. There's no difference. And so I think that's a very good way to put it. We want to be winners, and therefore we want to be useful. You don't want to be the guy that's sitting there on the sideline, coach put me in, and he never looks over at you because he knows you're not ready to go in the game, right? So we want to be ready and willing. I think that's the two big things about that. And that goes back to what we saw in the scripture. What did it say? A couple things. Dissipation. Remember the word? Not to waste our time. And that had to do with making the most of your time in this life. So, and part of that, I feel, is, you know, this kind of all comes on itself as we go through the scripture. It had to do with understanding God's will for your life. And then also taking advantage of the time you've been given to understand that will. Because we're limited, as you well know. God's will is willing or waiting to be revealed, but it has to take that taking advantage of your time to understand what the will of God is for your life. So, and we've all been given that time, you know, to do so. So, anyways, when I said divine power, you should immediately be relating that to having the proper motivation. When I said we've been talking about filling of the Holy Spirit, that supernatural strength, it doesn't mean we're going to rip a telephone book in half. What it means is that we can have the proper motivation to think, and that comes out in what you say and what you do. Proper motivation is really the key to the spiritual life. If you want to be useful, It's not just what you do, it's why do you do what you do. That's the motivation. People, there's a purpose of why people do things. There's a motive, there's a motivation behind, there's a why there. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that motivation is right. We want to make sure it's correct and in line with God's word and with His motivation. Because remember, if we're serving Him, worshiping Him in our soul, and then you're filled with the Spirit because you're cleansed of all unrighteousness, your motivation can't be impure. There's no impurity in you because you've been cleansed. So there's a righteousness and there's an unrighteousness that we have to struggle with as Christians, as believers, because guess what? We sin. And we've got to deal with that. But God doesn't sin. And He doesn't want us to perform service within that realm of the fleshly aspect of a human nature that we have. So His system is amazing. He's designed it in such a way where we can tap in to that perfection, tap into that spirituality, tap into the filling of Himself, the filling of the Holy Spirit. His own, our God, is part of us, right? In Christ. That's part of the in Christ concept, I feel. We're baptized and we become a child of God, and we're now the body of Christ. So it's not, you know, sometimes these terms seem so far out, but the reality of it is this is who we are as Christians. We're an extension of God on the earth. That's powerful. That's big time. And so when you see verses like this and telling us to take advantage and be useful, it all goes back to proper motivation, what you think. And ultimately, what does it do? It glorifies God. That's one of the goals on this earth, is to glorify God. So, and that comes out in many different aspects of your life. And, you know, it's funny because I like to mention it's what you think, because a lot of times people somehow forget that. God can see our thoughts. You see a lot of Christians living the Christian way of life in a way that has nothing to do necessarily with Scripture. Their motivation is wrong, and the outward appearance may seem like, you know, they're maybe upright Christians. We can't tell, right? All we can see is the outside, the whitewashed tombstone. So, but inside is the dead man's bones. So we have to be careful, because we have verses like 1 Samuel 16, 7b that we have to remember. It says, "For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's the reality of what we're dealing with here. So when we talk about being useful, it's not just going through the motions and looking useful. That a lot of people can do that. I can look useful, you know, when the boss comes out and get a shovel and just start tossing dirt over my shoulder. I can do that all day. The thing about it is our motivation right when it comes to this, the heart, the soul? Where are we at and what are we doing? How are we doing it? And is it right? Are we working? It doesn't matter if God would show up right in front of us and appear, or if He doesn't. We should still have the same attitude whether the boss shows up or not. See, that's right motivation. It's always done in a consistent way. It's not up. It's not down. There's a willingness to serve, and I think that gets more consistent as we grow, as we understand more of what God wants us to know. So continually seek that spiritual solution, not in the flesh or the carnal aspect of what our body and ourselves want to go to. And that's just saying, welcome to the world of religious legalism, because that's what it's full of. Fleshly things done in the flesh, and it's just not the right motivation. So we noted last time why believers do this, and is because in order to do things in the power of the Spirit, it means one has to recognize sin. That seems pretty easy, right? But there's a lot that goes behind recognizing our sin, our failures. Think about it as just regular human beings. We don't necessarily always like to say I was wrong or I messed up or it was my fault. See, the same aspect applies here. It's just in a spiritual sense. You've got to recognize it. You've got to own it. You've got to take responsibility and say, yeah, I did that. You know, it's really not a big deal. Once you realize that it's in your nature and you've got weaknesses, you've got flaws, it's biblical. God tells us these things. It's part of the spiritual life. But when we don't take responsibility for our sin and we don't want to confess, what do? You go around that. And that's when you get in trouble. That's when you look for human solutions. That's when the guilt piles up and then you start looking for human solutions to get rid of that guilt, which is usually through someone else, trying to get them to make you feel better. Maybe you'll convince yourself mentally that it's okay. But all those things only last for so long. They're temporary. They're not lasting. The forgiveness of God is the only thing that truly works. So there's nothing wrong with this, taking responsibility. But it does take a little bit of humility, I will say, on your part and mine. It takes a little bit of humility to say, okay, yes, I did this. Or whatever the case, big or small. And as you know, it's no secret that the Christian still sins after salvation, right? We do. That's the human nature. The Word tells us this. Although what happens is, as we get to know God more, you start to function and think more like Christ. So you become you get to a point where you may sin less, but the sin nature is still a part of your body. So you will sin. You can't completely get rid of that. That's always going to be there until you depart this earth. You die. Your heart stops beating. You depart and get a new body, right? So let's look at this one more time. The filling, because it's a good word. To become full or be filled, to be complete, to cause to abound or to furnish or supply liberally. So you can imagine when I mention all these things, they all sound positive. They all sound really good. But look what the opposite of these is. To not be filled. To not be complete. To not be fully furnished. And when we're talking about furnishing, remember what the Holy Spirit does for us in this life. Furnishes. That's that supernatural power that you have to perform anything that you do in the power of the Spirit. That's the furnishing. So if you're not liberally furnished or supplied, what is our purpose? We don't really have much of a purpose unless we're doing it God's way in His power. So that's a big one. We don't want to be incomplete. So, and the good news is that we're in charge of the process. When and how long we stay out or in of this filling is completely up to you. It's completely up to you. You remember the king of the mountain, because there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, but your volition is in charge of kicking one off the top of the mountain. They're both going to battle for that space. The sin nature is going to want to compete against the spirit. The spirit is going to want to compete against the flesh, but it's still the same idea. It goes back to the volition. It goes back to that decision that we make. Remember that we may be tempted, but the temptation is not the reason for the sin. The reason for the sin is what? Your volition. And that's how we can also get out, and we can also get back in from that volition. Free will to do what we are supposed to do in God's will. That's how He's designed it. So we've got to take advantage of that decision-making process we have. He's given us. So the Holy Spirit is what gives you the right motivation, as we mentioned, that glorifies God and that allows you to advance in God's plan. You know, when we think of anything spiritual, we all think of growing, hopefully, not being stagnant, not just starting off with a bang and then dying down to become just an ineffective Christian. You want to have a progressive growth pattern there. And I think you can see that in your individual lives. When we started from now, there's a progression. We're not as stupid as maybe we were then. We don't make the, you know, horrible decisions, still make some bad here and there, but it's not as terrible as it was back then. That's the idea. That's the idea. You become to rely on this power versus your own, because we know this is where we make right decisions. And I tried to emphasize that in one of the lessons, is that you cannot make a wrong decision when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't do it. It's impossible until you kick the Holy Spirit off the top of that mountain by sinning. So if you want to look at it and say, yes, it is possible, well, no, it's not until you sin. You can't make a wrong decision until you push away the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's guidance, the Holy Spirit's filling, until you push that aside by sinning. There's that contrast of that carnal and that fleshly aspect. And notice that your motivation instantly switches. A lot of people say, no, there's no, it's not like a switch. It doesn't go on and off. Where's your motivation after you sin? You cannot be filled with the Spirit right after you sin. It's impossible. That's why we have the confession aspect, because we've got to name it. We've got to get back in. We've got to turn back on the light. That's the light. We don't want to be in the darkness. Remember, we want to walk in the light. That's why these analogies are used. God is not, He realizes that we have light. He realizes that we have electricity and we can see. It's what guides us. It's how it directs our life. They had fire, same thing. You know, we have lights, and we need that illumination in our souls to go. And when we sin, what do? We turn out that light for a little bit. So keep your lights on. It's a good way to put it, right? So I feel like we finally beat the dead horse enough, but you can see that it's so critical for us as Christians to be filled, to be guided by the Spirit. And the focus still goes, I think, right back to your volition. And also, we can't focus on volition and just the filling, because you can't be filled for an extended period of time unless you have a consistent intake of the Word of God. There's other things that go along with that. It's not just taking one specific doctrine and saying, okay, I'm going to go practice this and I'm going to put it to the test. Well, guess what? If you don't have an intake of light, an intake of God's Word in your soul, there's not going to be any light. You can do this, but then 5 minutes later, you're going to be in the darkness. There has to be something that you rely on, that you go to, that you can rest on, that's truth, that keeps you consistently filled. Because otherwise, you can't perform, you can't be effective, you can't play in the game. Your shoes are always going to be coming untied. Your belt's always going to be coming off. Your chin strap's hanging off. There's always going to be a problem. You have to practice. That's all I'm saying. And I think this is part of the practice. It begins with instruction, right? And then we just go outside and we play in the game, per se. But the concept is the same. We start here and we practice and then we play. And then, of course, then verse 19 is really showing us, remember, we were talking about singing for a while. This verse is just showing us I think really what this verse is showing us, I don't know if I brought this out the other day, but it's showing us a picture of fellowship. It's showing us a picture of fellowship. When we're in harmony, that's what Roy used to use, the term he used to use, and it's a good word, because when we're in harmony, things are flowing correctly. There's a relationship, there's a harmony there, things are in line, things are in tune. That's why the verse says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's fellowship. Right after verse 18 that said the filling of the Holy Spirit. It makes perfect sense, because when you're in fellowship with God, look at the only two objects here in this verse. You're in fellowship with people as well. When you keep that fellowship correctly with the spiritual first, focus, priority, God first fellowship, the relationships here and out there just come naturally after. Any issues with relationships get resolved. They do. Through the Word, through your consistent intake of the Word. They have to. There's no other way to go because you're leaning on God. If you're in fellowship, you are effective, and that effectiveness applies to relationships around you. It just does. That's why speaking to one another has to do with that fellowship here. There is a harmony because, remember, this is rooted in where? It's rooted in that last phrase. You're making melody with your heart to the Lord. There's a worship there. There's an underlying relational worship. There's a focus. There's a priority. And then all of a sudden, you don't even have to think about the rest of it. That just happens automatically. See, what we have to focus on is that last part. We don't have to put a focus on coming and showing up every day to make sure we're somewhere, but we do have to do it when it comes to taking in the Word of God. Relationships come naturally as a result of that fellowship. That's how powerful it is. So you can definitely see that here. There's a harmony, fellowship, and there's a praise and a worship of God underlying all of this. So put Christ first, and you can enjoy fellowship and relationships with people. And so look at what we have next. This is logical. It really is. You think about filling, you think about fellowship, and then now... Well, did I skip a verse? No, we're not here yet. But verse 20, it is coming next. Verse 20 speaks about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, isn't that natural and logical to fall right after fellowship, the filling, being fully supplied, being able to do things God's way? And then we have verse 20. I don't know why I put this before it, but right after Paul teaches about understanding the will of God, the filling of the Holy Spirit, fellowship, what's next? There's got to be an attitude of thanksgiving. I mean, you know, we've been given all these things, and now it's like, praise God. There's a thanksgiving that follows this relationship that we've been given, because we can't take responsibility for any of it, but it's all been granted, it's been given, it's been planned, it's been pre-planned, and now it's here. So, you know, when you think about thanksgiving, I hope I didn't leave verse 20 out of here. Okay. But when you think it, let me read it. It says, always giving thanks for all things, you could say because or in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So there's your thanksgiving. And I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, we have access to the Trinity as people. We have access to God. And when our participation is all in, when we're willing to participate in that fellowship, God takes care of everything else. He takes care of all the details that fall into your lap of life. And there's so many things that come with that. But He does. He takes care of the rest. He takes care of everything else. He has a way of making things better. He has a way of resolving issues that may appear unresolvable to us as believers. Nothing in this world can give you what God can give us. Nothing. There's nothing. And when you think about the effects of what the Word has in your life, it has to bring this to your soul, because He helps us in every aspect of our life when we ask Him, and even when we don't. Both. He does both. He helps us when we don't ask, and He helps us when we ask. Do you have a friend like that? Be hard to find, right? Helps you when you don't ask and helps you when you ask. Sounds like a wife, husband or wife maybe, right? That'd be a good spot to be, wouldn't it? Helper. So, participation. Of course, God's Word gives us many examples of this resolution that He gives us. You know, there's a lot of scriptures I can pick and say, look, that's something to be thankful about. But I wanted to get this one because we just studied it. Look at what we have access to. Be anxious for nothing. How many people are looking for that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The world is looking for this stuff. But not here. But they're looking for the peace of God in their hearts. That's what they're looking for. Whether it's unbeliever, they're looking for that salvation, saving peace of God, or the believer looking for that day-to-day hustle and bustle peace of God to live the Christian way of life. Either way, God gives us a peace. He gives us a peace that you can't find in this world. It's irreplaceable. There's nothing that can replace it or we can find in the world that can give it to us. So you can kind of see what I mean when you look at this verse. When it comes to His Word, thanksgiving is the only possible response to His power and unending grace that He offers us. That's it. And we even see that right here. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The fact that we can even ask. You know, you ever been in a position where you can't talk to an individual? The chain of command doesn't work correctly and you can't directly communicate with them. We have direct access to the top of the food chain here. I mean, who has that? But you may see the CEO on a Zoom call with 500 other people, and you may get a question in that you have to submit before the meeting, and you may get picked. They have to read it over, and you may get selected to get your question in for the CEO. Look at what this is saying. You've got access to the head of the company here. And you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to get it approved. You don't have to see him on through a digital, you know, TV or computer. I mean, this is really something to be thankful for. So, and what's amazing, just like this verse says, every believer has the option to do this. Not be anxious. We've got that capability if we want it. We have the capability. Not be anxious, not worry. Let me put a different word that we use more. Not worry about anything. Not worry about anything. So what do? We trade that worry in, what the verse says, for the peace of God. If you want to replace something with worry, what do? You replace it with trust. You replace it with your faith, with your trust in God. And that's how this works. God is willing. He's able. He gives a scripture like this to even show us on physical paper. And then we take those words in our mind and we can apply them. Because this absolutely will work. Because that's truth. Absolute truth doesn't just appear and it's just something that I can look at and say, you know, that's pretty cool. No, it's real. It's not just cool. It's reality. This is something that can happen in our soul. We don't have to worry about anything. That's so powerful, it's not even funny. Because, you know, so many people are just letting life beat them up. Beat them up. This life isn't designed to beat you up, by the way. It's not. God didn't design the life to just beat you up. The stresses of life are just tearing people down so badly they become unrecognizable sometimes. And what I mean is in their thought process. What they used to be, they're no longer, because life is just bombarding them with problems. And you know, that affects people mentally. It does. It changes people over time. And we can see that. You know, we have people that we know, we've seen, and they're trying to fight with the problems of life. And it'll take you out every time. It'll take you out because it leads you down temporary solutions and it just drops you off in the woods. And then in your mind, you've got to start this process all over again, and it almost makes you crazy because you can't solve the unsolvable. This is what solves the unsolvable. If you want your pressures to go away, look for this. Look for the peace of God. How come no one goes to the solution in this life? Satan has a lot of solutions, but it's not in any cosmetic. It's not in anything a person can do, in any pill, in any physical thing. All temporary relief. There's thousands of products that say it'll take away your stress. We've all used them, right? Some of them work a little bit better than others. Some of them, you know, there's nothing wrong with these things. But let's start looking at this. This is permanent. This is something that lasts. This is something that cannot affect God. You're saying, well, what about if this happens? Well, look who's on the other side of this. Look who we're giving this problem to. So don't let it beat you up. Don't, you know, it's not designed to do that. Just don't be deceived as to where you find solutions either. So there's always a temporary solution for every permanent solution that God offers you probably. Satan's come up with a counterfeit after counterfeit. Some are safe, some are harmless, and some are not. Some are not, as you well know. There's a lot of alternatives meant to knock or dull, numb the pain in this life that are very dangerous. And they will lead you down a path that Satan can easily deceive you even farther. Drugs, alcohol, a friend that is nowhere near where you are in your spiritual life. Guess what they are looking out for? It's not you. It's not your spiritual life. It's not when you show up to church and how often you take the word of God. It's themselves. And Satan will play on that even though they may be your best buddy by word of mouth. We're talking about something that's in your soul. That they have no idea about where you're coming from or what you're talking about or who you serve. No clue, no idea, and they don't care. And they don't want any part of it. I'm not saying all of our friends are like this, but I'm just giving you an idea of what we're dealing with in the secular world. People. And if you're not focused here, you have to be aware of what you're dealing with. You have to tighten up when you get around this kind of thing. Be in fellowship more often than not because you're going to get tripped up. That's how this life works. We cannot hold our ground unless we stay steady and focused here. We can't do it. Because when you're around someone that is not even close to where you are mentally, not on the same page, anywhere near you, guess where you're going to go? They're going to take you where they are. Unless you are consistent and steady and on top of your game. Because this is a moment-by-moment battle. And I'm serious. This is a decision after a decision after a decision. And when we're in a conversation with someone that's out of fellowship and evil and maybe has no intentions of going where you're going, your mind can go somewhere else like that. It's fast. And it happens so quickly that we've made a stupid decision because we've been deceived. Remember, your sin nature's playing on that too, so you've got a little bit of draw in that direction already. So fast. That's why this verse includes guard. What does it say? Well, first it says, the peace of God will guard your hearts. And the word here means to guard or to keep watch. And it refers to a military centennial guard. Figuratively, it means to actively display whatever defensive and offensive means are necessary to guard. Wow. This is what God is doing to your soul. Remember, this is the word for cardia right here. This is your soul. God is guarding your thought process. Mind and soul. Heart and mind is what the words are. So if we have that guarding, and I want to mention this because a lot of people always want to throw this out there. The solution is always to take away the circumstance. Remove something. Make it better. Relieve the pressure. That's not the solution. That's never the solution. The solution is right here in this verse. The solution is staying in the problem. The solution is finding the solution within the adversity. That's the solution. It's not removing the person. It's not going to a new place to get out of the pain, the suffering. No, that's not it. That's not what we want to do. That's not what we're designed to do. That's not what God wants you to do. He wants you to serve within that realm of problem, testing, adversity. And the solutions can be found within that. That's what this verse is talking. That's why it's saying worry about nothing within the realm of whatever you find yourself in. That's big. That's a huge thing. Because we always think, oh, if I could just get through this and then I'll get out of it at the end of it, God will just remove this. No. He wants you to apply the word in it right now, in the circumstance, so you solve it then. Not after it goes away. Not after that person changes their mind and comes to a better attitude that you hope they would. That's not it. It doesn't rely on the person, it relies on us. See, the holdup is always on us. As believers, if there's an issue, if we're stressed out, if we're worried, if we're waiting on something to change, what happens? It's because of us. That's the wrong method. That's the wrong mode of thinking. We should be looking for solutions through God. That's it. And in the context, the Holy Spirit, right? Through the Word. And this is two verses. This is probably one solution out of thousands that God offers us in His Word. I mean, right? Blows your mind. This is two verses right here. Unbelievable. That's why you can't get it all in as a growing believer. You know, we got to keep advancing because there's so much in the Word. Just so much here. And then I'll read verse 20 and then we'll take a break. This is where we were going. It says, always giving thanks for all things. Now think about that. There's a couple little words in here that we need to pay attention to. Always giving thanks. All things. That's what we're going to talk about. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So, I think next class we'll pick up on that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful for your word, thankful for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we wake up and we're not sure about the day. We're not sure about where our life is going. We're not sure about your plans for us, but we just pray that for, you know, anyone who has never considered the life that you offer, we just want them to know that it happens and it's been freely given by you through Jesus Christ. You provided it. You offered it to us through the cross. You sent him to this earth for that specific purpose because you love us. And you love us so much that you didn't like to see us in that severed relationship that sin broke. It separated us from you. But lo and behold, you came, Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for that sin, for that penalty of sin. And we are no longer without an option to be saved eternally. And that's what it is. It's an option. And God gives it to you because he loves you and he wants to see you make that decision. And what is that decision? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's it. There's nothing you can do for salvation. It's to believe it by faith. And we thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the ability to be here and walk this earth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.